Hello, and welcome to Queen City Profiles, a podcast brought to you by the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. This is the show where we bring in prominent members of the Charlotte community for a conversation. My name is Eric Hartman, and with me today is Anovia Bedford.
Hello.
Anovia Bedford works with partnerships and is the logistics director for Black Tech Charlotte. Working in a startup environment, Anovia's entrepreneurial approach to business has led to a 12-year career in the creative fields. Her path started over 10 years ago as a jewelry design assistant that led to a senior design position and followed with a design director position. Through her fashion career, Anovia has done marketing, event coordination, and corporate sponsorship procurement, including deals with Airbnb, Nomadness Tribe, and others. Her education includes a degree in jewelry design from the Fashion Institute of Technology.
Hi, Eric. How you doing?
Not too bad. So, again, thank you for joining us today. Start with a very basic question. It seems that no one is ever from Charlotte. So where are you originally from?
I'm from New York.
Okay.
I've met about 7 people since I've been in Charlotte that are from Charlotte. Are you from Charlotte?
I am not myself. I'm from New York as well, but upstate.
Okay, I'm from Queens.
Okay, great, great. So what brought you to the area?
Sherelle. I was doing marketing for a beverage brand, and my contract kept getting extended.
Okay.
And I said, once this contract is over, I'm out of here. And she came to Charlotte after she worked for the mayor in Connecticut for a year. She did a fellowship program and just needed to revive and rejuvenate. So she had an aunt here, and she came to Charlotte, and she's like, Charlotte is awesome. You have to come down. And I was like, I'm coming. So at the time, I was doing sponsorship for a company called Funding Post, where we planned events for entrepreneurs to meet VC and angel investors. And there wasn't a Charlotte chapter. And I reached out to the CEO like, hey, this is what I want to do in Charlotte. So that's what I did. I launched it here. And at my first event, I had almost 100 people.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Awesome. So you told us a little bit about your background. Where did the idea for the plug come from?
Most of our ideas come from iMessages.
Okay.
So we'll just start with one iMessage like, hey, I got this idea. This is what I want to do. And the other person is either like, that sounds dope, or you can do a little better. So basically, Sherelle is a data journalism.
Okay.
Data journalist. She's doing her master's right now at Columbia.
Okay.
So super numbers geek. And she just felt that our story as Black people in tech was not being represented correctly. So she's like, I wish that there was like a news forum that, you know, pulled all of our stories together in a positive way. And I was like, that sounds like a good idea. So
excellent.
So she did it.
And I'll go ahead and interject here slightly that Sherelle was supposed to be with us today, but she could not make it. She is the president and CEO of Black Tech Charlotte.
Yes, she is.
Why do you think it's important to cover the accomplishments and innovations of African Americans?
I mean, I think it's super important because it speaks directly to what our future is going to be in whatever city we're in and how we can impact growth. You know, Black folks here, our past is not historically good. So, you know, going forward, I think that showing our accomplishments, innovation, speaks to the next generation about what you two can accomplish and what we have given to society as a whole.
Gotcha. Great. Thank you. So if you'll tell me a little bit, what is Black Tech Charlotte and where did the idea come from?
So the idea of Black Tech Charlotte came after Keith Lamont Scott was murdered. I was about 7 months pregnant, I was very pregnant with a boy. And I was just crying and stressed out and, like, you know, talking to my best friend, Sherelle, about it. And she's like, I wish that there was something that we can do to just pool our resources and bring people in Charlotte together in a real way, in a real impactful way. And she's like, let's just have an event series and see who comes out. Because when we go to tech events, it is like, I don't know, 72 white guys and me and Sherelle. So we're like, there, you know, our tribe is here someplace and we have to find them. And we started off with one event in December of 2016. We had it at Google Fiber. And at the time I did marketing for a restaurant group. So I was like, I can provide the food. Mm-hmm. And we got 125 RSVPs. We closed the list. Great. We closed the list at, I think, like 75.
Okay.
And we were like, who are these people? And how did they find out about this random event that we're having? Mm-hmm. And we opened the list up again, and we ended up with about 130 people there. We were like, we're onto something. This is a need. And we put up a whiteboard and we asked people in the community, what do they need? So from that, we designed our 2018 plan. So we did it every quarter and we just kept asking the technologists, the engineers, the entrepreneurs, what do you need from Charlotte? And number one was access to capital, training programs, and mentorship.
Gotcha.
So we took that and formed what is a Black Tech Charlotte now. So
interesting.
It, you know, it's if you ask people what they need, they will tell you.
That's excellent. And I'm sure, you know, probably most of the people that you've talked to are from the Charlotte area, but have you had any interest from outside of Charlotte as well?
We get a lot of people from Greensboro that come. Some people from Raleigh, some people from Durham, some people from Atlanta.
Well, okay, yeah. That far, wow.
Yeah, some people from South Carolina. Someone from Texas came to one of our events, great. Florida. Yeah, so it's an interesting time.
Do you feel the African-American tech scene is underrepresented, and why do you feel that way?
In Charlotte specifically, yes.
Okay.
I think that there are a lot of great tech companies, even in the South as general, that are doing amazing things that are kind of flying under the radar. Unless you have unicorn status, you know, and you have all these VC investments, nobody is really checking for you.
Okay.
So I think that the plug tells the story that people want to, that people need to hear.
Okay. Because,
you know, there are a bunch of tech companies that are out here grinding, just bootstrapping and putting their everything into it that aren't getting recognized, that have amazing amazing brands and amazing apps and amazing, you know, social responsibilities and gives backs. So I think that you don't see that too much in Fast Company or, you know, you know, other or Entrepreneur, you know, magazine. It's we get the stories of, you know, these two Black people raised $1 million. Wow. But we don't get, you know, some of the grittier stories about, like, you know, the co-working space that just opened in Compton. Like, that's getting pressed because an entertainer is involved.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we have a extensive list of Black-owned co-working spaces throughout America. Oh. So there are all of these nuances that aren't really being covered. So we're definitely represented.
Excellent. Awesome. Yeah. So we'll kind of switch gears a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the city we all love, Charlotte. What would you say is the most underutilized resource in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area?
Me. No.
right to the top. Yeah, there you go.
I think that there are some great small business resources in Charlotte. Natalie Williams runs, she runs the Women's Business Center. It says women's, but it's not exclusively for women. Anybody can go and get free help. Like, they'll help you, you know, write your business plan and do your projections. Chris at the SBC at Piedmont, amazing people work at this center where, you know, every college has their, you know, their SBC center where you can get small business help. And I think that those aren't utilized as much as they should be. So, yeah, those are a couple of things that I think people need to get into. And, of course, Black Tech Charlotte, I mean, you know, we're getting good press, so we're being utilized, but there are so many programs that are similar, you know, and are doing what we're doing. So we share our resources.
Good. Excellent. How do you see your ventures changing the trajectory of Charlotte?
I think because we have the two components, we have the entrepreneurship track and we have the workforce track, it gives people like a one-stop shop. So if you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to receive, you know, all these great classes, you can come for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to advance your career, you can come for that too. I don't remember the exact numbers, but there's like, I think 2,000 engineering positions. I mean, 2,000 engineering graduates in the Charlotte area and like 500 available positions.
Wow.
So, right. So each one of these Black engineers should have like 3 or 4 jobs.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with numbers like that and really diving deeper into the data, I think we can make an impact there. And when it comes to career mapping, we have a lot of people that get stagnant that come to us and trying to figure out how to get to the next level of their career and break through those ceilings and barriers. So I think that we can expand something.
Interesting. Good. What do you see as your vision for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area? What would you like to see if you could see anything?
I could see anything. I see a land that's full of honey and no. I would see a lot of people coming here and staying. I would see a lot of talent retention.
Okay.
You know, we have great schools here that produce amazing students and everybody's kind of like, I want to go to San Francisco and work. I want to go to New York and work. I want to go to Atlanta. The vision would be that we develop talent here that stays here. We develop companies here that are rooted here and can stay here and grow and create jobs.
So you mentioned having talent stay here. Are you finding, because from the statistic that I heard, it's something like 44 new people are moving to Charlotte per day. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that we're losing a lot of tech talent?
Yes. I think that people are moving here, and I think that they're also leaving quickly. I think that people come for, you know, to seek out opportunities, and then either they get stagnant in their position and can't grow to the next level, and they're like, okay, you know, it's time for me to, I know a few people that it's happening to currently that are on their way out. I think as entrepreneurs are concerned, funding here is a difficult game. Mm-hmm. So people are going to San Francisco to get their capital. They're going to Atlanta. They're going to Chicago. They're going everywhere but here. And then they end up, you know, building their bases there. So
how about even Raleigh, the Triangle, which about 2-3 hours away, do you find them more of a competitor or helpful as a partner?
Raleigh is killing us right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As tech scene wise, Raleigh has some great things going on there. And even the way their co-working spaces are set up, American Underground, they have Investor Row, where if you're a startup there, you can walk down and you can book time with these investors and ask them exactly what they're looking for.
Wow.
So, right. So that's already a leg up, you know, on us.
So it seems like there's a bit we can learn from them as well.
There's a lot we can learn from Raleigh.
What do you believe is holding us back from our vision?
I think that access to capital is really what's holding us back from that. I feel like the whole HB2 debacle shut a lot of doors, and there's a lot of resentment from companies who would have come here or that were thinking about coming here, or even tech companies that want to start here. There are not enough tax breaks. There aren't really great incentives to come and start your business in North Carolina, in Charlotte specifically. So I think that definitely needs some work.
So a lot on the government level. Is there anything specifically that you think that the city of Charlotte might be able to do?
Open up those purse strings and start and start funding some of the programs and businesses we have.
Okay, great. Thank you. What can residents across the county do to help you achieve this vision?
Residents can join. They can join Black Tech Charlotte. We have a yearly membership. We have 24 classes throughout the year. We have special VIP events, for lack of a better word. We do great fireside chats and just really spreading the word. If you have a speaking opportunity, let us know because we can find someone. If you want to know about speaking opportunities, join the plug because we have those there. We do job placement for technologists.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a lot of great resources that people can tap into. And our headquarters is at Camp North End, so they can visit us, ask questions, hit us on Instagram and Twitter, and we are always available to chat and talk.
Are there any specific requirements for joining Black Tech Charlotte?
No, you don't have to be Black, Eric.
Okay. That wasn't where I was going, but what would you say is the most life-changing piece of advice you've received?
I've received so much life-changing advice. My mom is like the source of all advice, and I can bounce things off her, my mom and my sister. And the biggest piece of life-changing advice was don't try and get a seat at the table, create your own.
Okay.
And that's what we did with Black Tech. We created our own table that now people want seats at. So don't worry about anybody else's table. Once you build your own table, people are going to say, hey, what's going on over there? How can we get in on that?
It's that classic slogan, build it and they will come.
Build it and they will come.
Where do you find inspiration?
I find inspiration everywhere. I'm a little data geeky, so that's one of the driving forces in how we create programming. We look at the history of what's going on, of what's happening and what's happened in the past, and go from there. I have a really great circle of friends that we draw a lot of inspiration from each other.
Great.
Yeah.
Does family fit into that picture at all?
They do. My mom is pretty inspirational. She's an attorney, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, so growing up, that was interesting. she went to law school when I was in elementary school, so she taught third grade by day and was in law school at night. So she used to read me her law books to get me to fall asleep.
I know that worked very well on me.
I would be out. My sister, super duper smart. She has her PhD in human comparative development. Mm-hmm. She does research for Spotify. Yeah, she's like ridiculous. So I harassed them a little bit. I mean, Sherelle is amazing as a founder. She's super smart, has worked for some of the best tech companies. Frida Henley, our publicist, she's awesome. She usually gives me the words to say, but she's not here today, so I get to say whatever I want.
That's right. And applications go down. No, just teasing. If you could write a letter to your former self, let's just say 21 years of age, what advice would you give yourself?
So much advice. I was a mess at 21.
Weren't we all?
Yeah. Well, at 21, I actually had brain surgery for an aneurysm.
My gosh.
Yeah. So it was like near death. My eye was swollen shut for months on end. Whole 6 month of recovery. Learn how to walk again. Learn how to talk again. Learn how to eat again. All that stuff. So my 21st year was a bit of a doozy.
I see that.
But I would tell myself to keep strong and press on because I got through that, and to focus more. I feel like if I had the focus and the drive that I have now, I had the drive in a different way at 21. Mm-hmm. But if I would have put all my ducks in a row, I think that I would be a different person now. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I would write a long letter to my 21-year-old self.
Thinking back about all the books and articles you've read throughout your life, what book or article has made the biggest impact on you?
There have been so many. I'm currently reading The Secrets of Six-Figure Women.
Okay.
Which is it's a really good book that was referred at a panel that I was at a couple of weeks ago. And just about the mind frame of like under-earners compared to six-figure women. So that book is really interesting. Another book that I like that has made an impact, I can't think of the exact title, but it's like The Seven Principles of Women. It's written by a pastor's wife, and it just really goes through everything of how to, you know the book? But it goes through everything about, you know, how to be a good businesswoman, how to be a better friend, how to, you know, being family. It's just, it's a really good book that I refer back to every now and then when I feel like the heat is rising. I'm like, okay, let me reground myself. It's just a really good book. So those are two of my favorite.
Thank
and then
you.
I like Richard Branson's Like a Virgin. Good book.
Yeah. So. Sherelle Dorsey just came in. She was just able to join us not a minute ago. I'm going to go reintroduce her. She is the president and CEO of Black Tech Charlotte, part data and tech journalist, part social entrepreneur. Cheryl is determined to make North Carolina a more inclusive environment for diverse startup founders and technologists. She is also the creator of The Plug, the first daily tech newsletter covering diverse founders, startups, technologists, investors in tech. Her education includes a degree in international trade and marketing from the Fashion Institute of Technology and a master's degree in data journalism from Columbia University in New York City. Sherelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go back and I'll ask you a couple of the questions that I went ahead and asked Anovia here, kind of
yes.
get your input. I'm going to go ahead and start with the basic one. It seems like no one is ever from Charlotte. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
So I was born and raised there. I'm a Microsoft kid, so I started off learning how to code in high school as part of a really cool program called the Technology Access Foundation, which has since evolved into an award-winning STEM academy in Washington State. And when I was 18, I was like, New York City, here I come. And that's where I met this one over here, an undergrad in Italian class of all places.
Interesting.
Yes, we met in Italian class. So I'm from Seattle. I spent, undergrad in New York City, worked a bit for different beauty, fashion startups, moved back to Seattle for a year. Went to LA for like 3 months and like house sat on a beach in Santa Monica as I was finding
Sounds
my
beautiful.
Life, right?
Yeah.
And lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut for a year in a public policy fellowship program. And then I made my way to Charlotte.
Great. What brought you to this area?
There are a couple of things. I was at a time in my life where I wanted to just get a different life experience. I wanted to be closer to family. So I had an aunt living in Ballantyne that had just moved from Seattle. I looked at several different cities where I did have family, so like Austin, Atlanta, as well as Charlotte. And I wanted to, I looked at like what are the opportunities for mobility for myself in terms of transportation, because I wasn't a big driver, as we know.
Sure.
And transportation, sustainability, access to like a growing and budding tech community.
Okay.
And so Charlotte kind of ultimately won out for so many different reasons. I actually moved here with no job. So for 3 months, I was kind of like volunteering, making connections, attending events in the local startup scene where I met most of my friends. And then eventually I landed a job as a marketing manager at Uber. So I was
Excellent.
With Uber for about a little over a year. And then they decided to move those offices or consolidate them into the DC office. And I was like, I don't think I'm done with Charlotte yet. So stayed here. I've lived actually kind of lived all over. So I started in Ballantyne, like sleeping on Mom's sofa.
Yeah.
Then I moved over to NOTA. I was NOTA for like a year and a half. And then like I ended up living with her because I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I can just move in with you, which is like the default. I'm always like, well, where are you going to live? Because that's where I'm going to eventually end up. So make sure you have space for me.
She always lives with me. She always ends up living with me.
Yeah, yes. If you build a house, you'll have to make sure to have a loft for her to sleep in.
Even when I'm like 65. It's like,
that's right.
Cheryl's coming. Yeah, and then also lived in Cotswold. Do a ton of traveling. So I'm kind of back and forth. And Just Charlotte seemed like it was emerging, and I wanted to sort of be part of that. And then not to mention, I'd come on business once, and I think I like hopped on the bus one day and just talked to people, and everyone seemed so nice and pleasant, and the weather was good, and it reminded me of the laid backness that Seattle has. And I was like, this might be an interesting city to try. So
excellent. So where exactly did the idea for the plug come from?
So the plug came from, an amalgamation of different ideas. So I was freelance writing on tech and innovation for a couple of years before I launched the plug. And I was, you know, also working in tech. And so, you know, part of being a good marketing manager and just someone who's interested in tech in general is continuing to stay on top of, like, the latest news, you know, local developments of who's doing what, where, how, what have you. So as I'm like reading these profiles every morning, like before work, I'm just noticing this pattern and trend of like, oh, wait, okay, so everyone is like a Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or Elon Musk, and everyone's like, you know, like white and male. And, you know, I grew up with, you know, having software engineers and, you know, cousins who are mathematicians. And I'm like, I know that, you know, there's a crop of individuals who go to school and pay lots of money to learn these skill sets.
Absolutely.
And they're creating incredible products and programs and projects, and they're not being recognized in the news in a substantial way. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my theory was, you know, what could it look like to have a daily tech newsletter that really points out the top 5 stories featuring people of color, innovators, what have you, from, you know, them raising money to selling companies to launching new companies to what have you, their contributions to a larger company. And so, yeah, I just right before work started hacking together this like semi-decent newsletter and also sharing my experiences of, you know, trying to, you know, remain and stay in tech in the Southeast and sharing that. And so had a very small list of friends that probably just took pity on me and were like, we'll get it, whatever. We'll take it every day. We'll hear from you every day. And it since has grown. It never really, you know, started as a way to start a business. It was more of an opportunity to just like, let's explore and see what happens. So we're almost, next month we'll be 2 years old.
Wow.
And we've had some tremendous support, sponsorships from Capital One, JP Morgan Chase, some smaller organizations that have advertised with us. And it has been a resource. It's still interesting, like when I go other cities or conferences and people are like, yeah, we know what the plug is. And I'm like, really? Oh, okay.
Well, definitely cool. Making a name for yourself. Yeah, that's
right,
great. Awesome.
Right.
We'll go ahead and switch gears to Black Tech Charlotte. Where did the idea come from for that?
So Black Tech Charlotte was, there were a lot of emotions involved. I think, you know, as I mentioned, when I first moved to Charlotte, there were several individuals who connected me to the local startup community. So I had like did a cold call to like Charles Thomas, who was heading up Queen City Forward at the time. Shannon Benz, who runs Sustain Charlotte. I did some work with them early on in my early days before employment. And, you know, I got connected with those individuals, started going to things like Pitch Breakfast. There were some other interesting, like, startup-y things happening that I would try to sit in on. And the challenge was that it was always like white males. It was just the same with like the plug, right? It was like everything is so homogenous here. And then when I wanted to go to networking or meetup events with black professionals, it was always like only black people. And then it was like more cocktail happy hour versus, okay, I think, content about the future. And so I was like, well, no, how do we get all these ideas and groups together in a fun way that's like sexy and not just like, you know, boring, we say the words innovation, but we really don't know what that means. And so it was just, and then I got back from this press trip in Virginia, where we were doing this tour with Village Capital, an impact investment, you know, firm out in D.C., okay, who was going on this tour and spending $100,000 investing in these small, you know, these small scale entrepreneurs of all colors or what have you. And during that time is when Keith Lamont Scott was killed. So I'm kind of away during this time. By the time I get back to the city, obviously, it's just very heavy tension. There was just a lot happening. And I thought to myself, I have this very optimistic view of the world of, you know, intellect and talent kind of being the markers that define us as human beings and define our society. And, you know, even though, like, I'm able to talk about and speak about black and brown people in a sense of, like, innovation, I cannot prevent this pervasive issue of racism and prejudice that continues to exist and really kind of sully the work that we are capable of doing if these were not barriers. And so I remember texting Inovia, and it was just like, what do we do? You know, we can't obviously solve this problem today. We can't kind of continuously march in the streets. We don't necessarily want to run for office, but what can we do to give people a sense of hope and opportunity that also looks like how we plan our cities? There was a study that was released that that spoke about the lack of economic mobility. Everyone cites this stuff, and I think about how long ago that study came out, and then I think about, well, what solutions are at the table? Because everybody keeps talking about it, but, you know, what are we going to do? With, you know, myself having my experience, you know, at Uber, being a marketing manager, negotiating partnerships, Inovia, like, also being just a phenomenal, you know, partnership person and director, we thought, surely we have enough resources among ourselves to create something that could be interesting. And so we thought, like, you know, hey, you know, what about, let's just do some sort of an organized meetup. I had written enough about folks that when I call and ask for a sponsorship and product, they're like, yeah, of course. So in about a 3-week time period, maybe even a 2-week time period, we just said, like, let's try something. Let's do like this Black Tech Charlotte and see who comes out. And I think it had planned for maybe 30, 40 people. And by the end of the week, we had over 125 people RSVP.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that was like us not having a broad array of contacts. We were just like, we'll design a little hacky flyer, Google Fiber. We were able to rent that space out, and we got, you know, some cool Wi-Fi devices and gear. Google Fiber gave us their Google Cardboard virtual reality glasses.
Awesome.
Inovia at the time was a director of marketing for Wild Wing Cafe, so we were able to get food, and I was in Harris Teeter pushing carts of 2-for-12 wine bottles so we could have something to drink. And we might have had like $100 to spend. So it was very much like we didn't think that this would be something that could be this, you know. And so we saw, you know, the signal of, you know, and even talking to folks, people like private equity investors came out and they were like, we're looking for deals. You know, we want to invest in, you know, entrepreneurs of color. We want to see what's out there because everyone's in a silo. You know, meeting folks like Sean Andrews, who, you know, he's like out in Concord and he's like, yeah, I've just been sitting at home building like a mental health app with an algorithm that you answer and respond to questions. And then it develops a pipeline of content for you to listen to based on, you know, based on like your need at the time, whether you're dealing with depression or kind of other things that I think can, you know, can be assisted with some clinical support, you know, recommended by a licensed professional. So that's how Black Tech Charlotte started, and we continue to just look back at the data and the feedback and say, okay, well, what else is needed? What else can we do?
Gotcha.
Who else can we leverage? So that was a very long-winded response, but
no, that was great. I really appreciate that. And so you had just mentioned just a second ago that, you know, you're having investors come up to you and say, you know, we want to get connected with these people. You know, we're having trouble finding them. Why do you feel that African Americans in the tech scene are underrepresented, and why are they having trouble getting connected with the right contacts?
So I'm a data person, so I don't automatically just go racism. Like, a lot of times, yes, that is the case, right? We do understand who gets more resources. However, we also have to understand population control against availability, and then, you know, there's kind of a disparate when you look at coastal cities just having like more access. You look at the Californias, the DCs, Massachusetts, the individuals who sort of have the school systems producing a pipeline for them.
Okay.
Of investment. I think one thing definitely in representation, the challenge I think in communities of color is that we have to focus so much on survival that it is hard to be able to focus on the future.
Okay.
And this is kind of a working theory, so, you know, this thought and idea may change at any given time. But we have to focus a tremendous amount of time on survival and basic rights and justice in this country. And that has been true for myself, that's been true for my mother, that's been true for my grandfather who left Birmingham, Alabama at the age of 13, moved to Detroit and then Seattle. And I think about the potential that has been lost because we've had to focus on our survival and not our thriving. I think about the wealth that hasn't been created as a result of that, or being able to invest it and say, yes, you know, I have the resources to purchase technology for my family because I don't have to make a decision between being in a neighborhood that I've been relegated to and a system that I've been relegated to, or a job system that does not afford me the same pay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's women of color are paid maybe 66 cents on the dollar. So when you start looking at those numbers, if we get granular into that data, there's a reason why. There's a reason why investment has not happened at scale.
Okay.
I will say also, there's a misconception that, you know, folks of color are not innovators. Like, we invented half the things that are like in this world, from the stoplight to the broom, right?
Absolutely.
And so we have that, you know, we have that ingenuity. It just has not been invested in because of the prejudices and because of the biases. And I think that has held us back.
Okay.
Because there's an amazing book that is talking about, you know, opting out. There's some articles the Brookings Institute has produced around, you know, the lack of innovators in communities of color. And so anyway, it's a very complex question. So
absolutely.
But I think mostly when you get people of color and women who have not traditionally held the top layers of power, be it at a firm, a university, what have you, it tremendously affects the demographics of who is represented, right? Because you're going to hire someone that looks like you, that comes from your neighborhood, that comes from an experience, an environment that you're familiar with. And that has hurt us, right? It's hurt us with numbers. And so my thing is, like, I try not to focus on that in my work. I don't like talking about disproportionality, because what I believe is we are now at a place where we have access to resources that we can create our own thing. And that's also why Black Tech Charlotte exists, because I don't really need someone to say, okay, hey, you know, add 10% more Black people to your place of employment. I'm like, you didn't want me there in the first place. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's your company. Like, Black Tech Charlotte is my company. If I want to have fruit snacks and give fruit snacks out to everybody that walks in the door, that's what I get to do, because that's my company.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now the narrative is, we can build and grow and hire who we want. We can do that because we have the talent, we have the resources, what have you. But now it takes the investment. And so when I even look at the responsibility of cities now, when we are talking about this upward mobility crisis in Charlotte, I think the challenge is, okay, yeah, let's talk. Let's throw solutions on the table. Now, who's going to write the check?
Absolutely.
Who's going to write the check? Who's going to make sure that, like, we do have what we need. So anyway, there's that.
No, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. What is your vision for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area?
I think my vision is that people get comfortable with taking risks and putting the right resources behind what they say they want to see. And that happens now. I don't think that we can have these plethora of programs where you're asking people to essentially volunteer their time to run. The people that are doing this work should be well compensated so they too can feed their families and they too can purchase homes and continue to invest in the community because the community has invested in them. And I think that whatever is launched to solve some of these challenges, there has to be a sustainable resource of funds continuing to come through. And I'm not saying just like write the check and walk away. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is there has to be a system in place or a pipeline in place that helps people be prepared to be successful. I think about the work that we do, and I mean, like, Anovia is a beast at, like, she landed us, like, Airbnb as a partner. Like, we've got some other cool developments we're going to be announcing in the next couple of months. But, you know, like I said, we started Black Tech Charlotte with, like, $100. And we're constantly still operating on that mentality of, like, we have to hustle every single day to put, you know, to get the bare bones basics together. Like, I don't take a salary, like, at all. You know, I'm in grad school. Like, I'm eating ramen, you know, and fruit snacks, clearly. <Yeah. laughs> But I think when people and the talent that come here and they say, I want to give this. This is my work and it is for this community. That shouldn't be taken lightly. And the individuals that have resources or the, and resources beyond like dollars too, right? But people who can give space, right? People who can give access to talent or what have you, whatever the skill set is, mm-hmm. that they can come behind someone and say, we see what you're trying to do and we want to institutionalize this as part of like our city. That when you think Charlotte, you think Black Tech Charlotte. When you think Charlotte, you think Tech Charlotte. When you think Charlotte, you think DigiBridge and Huga co-working spaces. And you think like all of these individuals who are literally day in and day out, like making tremendous sacrifices to provide something of sustainable value. Because otherwise, if we close up shop and I go and I can go easily, we can easily leave and go get a job in San Francisco and get six figures and stock options and a skateboard and like be fine, right? But how do you keep talent? How do you keep these folks to stay here and say, we're going to continue to build this city?
Absolutely.
And I think that it has to be long-term thinking and also long-term investment in people's feelings. You have to put your ego and your feelings aside mm-hmm. and say, listen, the work is what matters. It's not my title. It's not my position. And, you know, we just have to like write the check and then provide resources. Do you know what it could mean for us to be underwritten? Like, and what we could do? I mean, in a 6-month time frame of us launching like officially, we put together a $100,000 fund for entrepreneurs of color.
Wow.
Like 6 months.
Wow.
By the end of 12 months, we had served 800 plus entrepreneurs of color and technologists of color in Charlotte.
That's amazing.
We're in month 14. Month 13, we opened up a space. I mean, like, do you know, like, we did that on like $5 in a stick of bubblegum. And not to take away from some sponsors and some supporters, but I think about the fact that I would love to be able to hire a full-time staff. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to create programming within our community that matches students with skill sets and our corporate partners for internships. I would love to hire UNCC data science students to come and help us work on data projects around what's missing in communities of color as it relates to resources to become entrepreneurs. I'd love to be able to do all of those things. And on top of that, I would love to have a standing meeting with a business mentor in Charlotte that is helping us to look at the checks and balances of our systems, create processes so that when Sherelle decides to walk away and go live on some island somewhere, then, you know, whomever is next, whomever we're training up, can now become the director of Black Tech Charlotte.
Yeah.
But we need to know how to do that because we're building the plane as we go. But what if there was a resource system that added funding, that added, you know, mentors, that added, you know, policy leaders? I mean, Mayor Vile Lyles came to our opening and just said the most beautiful thing, right? The most beautiful words. And so now it's like, well, what's next? And how do we create support systems around folks like myself and Inovia and, you know, Garrett Tishi at Huga and whomever to say like, okay, you really have the support of the city, and not just by words and not just by us coming and like, you know, eating your cookies at your grand opening, but continuously. So I think that that could be a model that Charlotte could adopt that would also attract other people here.
Great. Can I ask you a little more introspective question?
Yes.
If you could write a letter to your former self, what would you say?
Do it all afraid. Ask for help a lot more than you have, for sure. I think I had a lot of false starts, a lot of frustrating moments, lost a lot of time and resources on either A, being too timid. I think now there's also something about like turning 30 where you just don't care anymore. It's like, you know, when folks get real old and they just say whatever's on their mind. I feel like I'm getting towards that spectrum where I'm just like, I'm just going to say what I want. I'm going to do what I want. And I think early on, I was afraid. I was afraid of what the response would be. I was afraid of failing. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I mean, there's so much that we can learn just from our failures on our own. And I think, as you know, Anovia had pointed out earlier, you know, turning as becoming a little bit older, you know, our drive towards that changes from what our drive was in our early 20s. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here. How can listeners today learn more about Black Tech Charlotte and the plug?
Yes. So going to blacktechinteractive.com is a great way to start. Okay. We have a newsletter, so we send out monthly newsletters. We have learning labs every single month where various experts in their field come and do these very micro workshops, about just 30 people per workshop, a lot of one-on-one, just business skill savvy, things like how do you prepare for funding, how do you do customer discovery and make it effective. Mm-hmm. And also, like, folks can become a member of Black Tech Charlotte. It's $99 for the year. That's an investment in all of the things that we have going on. And so you get access, full access to all of our events, VIP events. We are building a database of resources of Black technologists and creatives here in Charlotte. So you get access to that database. So if you're looking for someone to hire and you're looking for, you know, a person of color, you can look into that database. And there's a couple of other benefits that are added there as well. So that's definitely one way. And then with the plug, you can literally subscribe to theplugdaily.com right online. And we have not just a daily newsletter, we also have a weekly. So for folks who like inbox zero, I understand. The plug, we send out the weekly version on Fridays. So that's the best way. And we're also on social media, Twitter at We Are Black Tech Charlotte, and then on Instagram at Black Tech Interactive. And then the plug is just _theplugdaily.
Sherelle, Anovia, thank you so much for being a guest on Queen City Profiles. This has been a great talk. If anyone is interested in learning more about Sherelle, Anovia, visit blacktechinteractive.com and medium.com/theplug. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Queen City Profiles. This podcast is brought to you in part by Digital Charlotte and the James L. Knight School of Communications at Queen's University of Charlotte. We thank the Knight School of Communications for their assistance with the recording and editing of this podcast. For more information about the Knight School of Communications, please visit them online at queens.edu/Knight. To learn more about this or any of our other podcasts, visit our website at digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cmlibrary or on Twitter at cmlibrary. We'll see you next time.